Hello, and welcome everyone. Can everybody hear me? And so I'll just take a moment and let everyone come fully into the room. Yes. Well, it's so nice to be back with you all again this week. And so let us all just arrive here fully. Let's give ourselves full permission to be right here, right now. And so many of us, we've had really busy weekends, and some of us even work on the weekend. And so let this be a time where we can just drop everything and just arrive. Arrive right here in the present moment. So I have a couple announcements that I wanted to speak about before we get started. I have a retreat coming up here in Durango in August. It's from the 17th through the 19th. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's right here in downtown Durango. There's a little chapel that I've spent a lot of time just sitting in, and every time I walk into this chapel, my heart just feels so full of love and so full of aliveness. It's one of my favorite little spots. And so I spoke with the people who run the chapel, and they said, "Yes, of course. Of course you can rent the space for a retreat." And so really looking forward to it. And I was out road biking this weekend with my daughter, and I haven't been road biking in many years. And it's actually kind of a funny story, but I let one of my friend of a friend borrow my bike, and they adjusted the seat, and so the seat was really low, but I just threw it on the back of my Jeep and drove out into the canyon. And my daughter got out there, and I got on this bike, and the seat was really low. I felt like a little kid, riding this bike. And if any of you have ever if you ever been on a road bike, there's a height that's really good for pedaling very efficiently. And if you're at the wrong height, well, then you can, it's like trying to ride a bike with two flat tires. And so I was thinking that, if we're on the spiritual path and we don't have a teacher, if we don't do retreat practice, it's very much like pedaling a bike with two flat tires. You feel like you're just going really slow, extremely slow. And so one of the benefits of retreat practice, one of the great benefits of retreat, is to give yourself full permission to let go, to fully be here, to fully give yourself, to immerse yourself in the practice. And so anytime you have an opportunity to go on retreat, I highly recommend it, because your practice will increase, it will deepen tenfold. My teacher used to say this old saying, you make one step to God, and she makes 100 steps toward you. And so retreat time, when we are choosing to come together, we're choosing to deepen, we're choosing to put down the cell phone, we're choosing to dedicate our lives fully to this path. And so I really cherish those times when I got to meet with my teacher in such a deep and profound way. I could ask him whatever question was on my mind. I could practice in a way, and things would come forward, and he'd be right there, to help me, to guide me, to lead me. And so it's such an incredible benefit, to have a teacher, and to go on retreat. And so don't worry if you can't go on this one, there'll be plenty more. You know, especially in this day and age, there's so many opportunities to go on retreat. But it's important that we find someone we connect with. Find one we feel, you know, a closeness with, and someone we trust. Someone who our heart opens and we resonate with. And so if you feel inspired, it's August 17th through 19th. It's a non-residential retreat, but it'll be a time where we'll be spending, you know, a good 10 or 12 hours, you know, practicing together throughout the day. It'll be really powerful. Very powerful experience. And I'm always surprised, you know, when we show up, God shows up in such a deep way, such a profound way. You know, it's just like showing up to these Sunday satsangs. When you choose to show up every Sunday, when you choose to give yourself to the path, when you make the spiritual path non-negotiable, you'll radically excel. But if you give yourself permission to listen to your ego, and if you notice what the ego does is the ego is continually negotiating with life. And so part of living the truth, embodying the truth, bringing the truth forward into the world, is to not negotiate. You know, there's like that saying that you hear when you listen to one of those, you know, or you watch one of those hostage movies, and they go to the government and they say, you know, we have these people and we're holding them for ransom for $5 million or whatever it is. And the government says, we do not negotiate with terrorists. And so on the spiritual path, when you negotiate with your ego, when you let it have its way with you, when you let it lead you, it's like riding a bike with two flat tires. But when you choose to align with the truth, when you have a teacher who's highly supportive, when you're doing retreat practice, you're stepping into alignment with the truth. You're on the fast track. You're saying yes. Yes to life. Yes to the truth. Yes to God. Yes to your highest nature. And so, anyways, the invitation, I'll put it out there. And I'll give a reminder maybe once a week. And it should be something that you feel drawn to come. You know, a lot of people I find they're scared to go on retreat. They're terrified to spend a little time in silence or to, you know, spend a day in meditation. But it truly is a gift. It truly is a gift you give yourself. You know, we spend so much money in this world. We buy all sorts of different things. You know, I was just speaking with a friend, actually about, you know, a couple hours ago. He just went on this vacation and spent thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, on this vacation. He was kind of like, well, it was all right, you know. But to spend, you know, a little time, a little money on yourself, where you're choosing to say yes, I'm going to put my foot down on this path and I'm going to walk forward. Full speed ahead. Full speed ahead. And so there was a time in the beginning when my teacher used to ask me, Craig, are you coming on the retreat? I want you to come on the retreat. And then after a period of time, it just became a given that Craig was on every retreat. On every retreat. And it was so profound. So profound, such a gift I gave myself to step away from life and to step into reality. And so anyways, I thought, you know, that's I guess that's the warm up, but let us just spend a couple minutes here, you know, just deepening, breathing, feeling, and giving ourselves full permission to connect with the truth of our being, the truth of our nature. And so you're welcome to close your eyes or to keep your eyes open. But if you do keep your eyes open, don't be looking all around the room and getting confused. You know, if you're on a computer listening, I encourage you not to be clicking all over the place. To arrive here fully. To take some deep, full belly breaths. To feel your butt, you know, in the chair, on the cushion. Feel your feet on the floor. Allow your spine to be erect. Allow thought to fall away. I assure you, you know, at 7 p.m. on a Sunday evening or whatever time it is where you are, there's nothing you need to think about. Nothing you need to figure out in this moment. Can you give yourself permission just to breathe, simply to feel, to connect with the aliveness, the spaciousness that's here. This quiet and yet profound sense of freedom which is here. Can you give yourself permission to be awake, to be aware? To notice the one who's noticing. Be aware of awareness. Can you notice right here, right now? What is it? Who is it that hears the sound of my voice? What is it? Who is it that notices this aliveness that you are? And so, of course, we're allowing thought to fall away. We're giving ourselves permission. Notice the spaciousness that's here, eternally here. The peace that's eternally here. The freedom that's eternally here. We're giving ourselves full permission to allow awareness to awaken in our hearts. And notice this quiet innocence right here in the space of our hearts. What is this gentle innocence that we are? What is this innocence? What is this aliveness? And so can you give yourself full permission to breathe, to feel, to experience this absolute divinity that you are? Can you give yourself permission right here, right now, to see that what you are is good, to see that what you are is divine? And so we're breathing in and out. And just noticing that there's something beautiful, something gentle, something alive and radiant in the belly, the pelvis, the legs, the feet, the arms, the hands. There's something alive and radiant in the heart, the throat, the space of the mind, the crown chakra, and we're giving ourselves full permission to open full permission to open, to experience this absolute beauty, this absolute divinity, which you are. I was hanging out earlier today with all these children. I was at one of my friend's daughter's birthday party. When you look into the eyes of a child, you see, you feel such innocence, such radiance just pouring out of them. And I'm inviting you to notice this same radiance right here, looking out of your own eyes, right here, pouring out of your heart. Can you notice that there is something good, something absolutely profound, absolutely divine about you? If you give yourself permission to let go of judgment and simply to come into the goodness, the love, the wonder of your open-hearted presence, you begin to see there's something so beautiful here, so alive, so radiant, so mysterious. You begin to realize that what you are is absolutely precious, absolutely innocent. If you give yourself permission to let go of every thought and simply open your heart, relax the belly, begin to see that what you are is beautiful, absolutely beautiful, absolutely divine. And so we're breathing, we're feeling, and we're connecting with the depth of our being. We must never let the spiritual path simply be a philosophy. Your divinity is meant to be experienced. And so we're opening and we're receiving our goodness, and we're inviting ourselves to be fully blessed by the spaciousness that's here, the divinity that's here, the peace that's here. There's this absolute love, eternally wanting simply to flood our being. And so if you open the crown chakra and just invite this grace in, you begin to feel your own true nature coming radically alive, feeling blessed, feeling nurtured by God's grace, nurtured by heaven above. And so, yes, so I'm going to encourage you all to continue sitting, continue opening, continue experiencing. And I know there's a number of questions tonight, and so if you have a question, you're welcome to, you know, to raise your hand if you're listening on Pal Talk, and I can share the mic with you. And I see I have a question from Vishal. So Vishal, I'll release the mic in a minute. And for others of you, if you feel like typing in a question, you know, that's welcome too. But as we move forward into the Dharma Talk aspect, I want to invite you to stay with your direct experience. Don't simply go up into your mental mind and listen from there. Listen from your heart. Just notice. Notice your heart coming more and more alive, more and more awake, more and more full as we sit together and simply open and receive. And so, Vishal, are you ready with your question?
Hey Craig, so after we last talked, you mentioned that you said something beautiful that the Divine Mother was kind of knocking at my heart's door, something to that effect. And not coincidentally, Amma was in town that week, so I went to see her the Tuesday after we talked, and it was a profound and beautiful experience. And since then, I felt my heart waking up and opening up, and just now actually there's been an opening in the Hara, but like it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't feel divine actually. I mean, I think there's just a lot of stuff in the held in the human heart that just is longing to be healed and loved, and it's feeling a bit overwhelming. And I don't know, I was just hoping that you'd have some, you know, just send some love my way and send some advice on I don't know what to do to heal it, or maybe I should ask God, because I've just a little side note. Yeah, I actually noticed I'm developing trust again in God. There was it was similar to what you were mentioning in a video, that, you know, I felt that I had been abandoned by God, and more I'm kind of deepening my trust in God as well. But Yeah, my question is primarily about healing in the heart, and thank you.
Yes, Vishal, that's a beautiful question. And so I often tell people there's two hearts. There's our human heart, and there's our divine heart. Now, the human heart tends to sit on top of the divine heart. You know, and if you even feel into the chakra centers with the heart chakra, when you feel onto the surface of your heart, well, you notice this is where your emotions live. And so you'll notice if you have anxiety, it's right there on the surface of your chest. You know, if you have pain and trauma, we tend to store that on the surface. And so for most people, when they open to the experience of the heart, the first thing they feel is their human heart, and they tend to feel overwhelmed by the pain that's there. But if you descend a little bit deeper, you know, it's normally, if you imagine just going, say, like 3 inches in from the surface of your chest, you know, toward the spine, that's where the true heart lives. And so when I speak about getting in touch with your heart, I'm speaking about going deep. And when you go deep within yourself, you'll find an innocence that's never been harmed. You'll find a compassion that has no end. You'll discover a radiance. Radiance which has not been tarnished by any hell or pain or suffering you've ever been through. And so one of the great gifts my teacher gave me was he continually, you know, invited me, go into your heart, see your heart, experience your heart, know your heart, Craig. So again and again, the invitation was to connect deeply with the true heart. And when you get in touch with the true heart, then you discover this compassion that easily will meet the pain of your human heart. Easily meets it. But see, what most people do is they try to heal their own heart with their psychological nature, or, you know, some kind of thing like that. And that's what it's like when you go to a normal counselor. It's They try to heal your pain through psychology, and it can be somewhat effective. But what I found is if you get in touch with true nature first, then you're connected with this incredible strength, this incredible love. I mean, you're connected to the presence of God in you as you. And so when you connect to God in you as you, there's this overwhelming sense of love, this overwhelming sense of compassion that can flood into your human heart. And see, this is a real game changer. And so, Vishal, when I feel into you, you have a precious heart, my friend. And so I encourage you, go deep, deep within yourself. Find this childlike innocence. And notice that even though this childlike innocence, it feels childlike, it also has the strength and love of Christ, the strength and love of the Buddha. Now, Jesus said this again and again, be like a child. Be childlike. Be innocent. That is your true nature. I can feel it in your voice when you ask the question. When I sit with you, I see it in your eyes. I feel it in your presence. So can you allow the goodness of your true heart to embrace sadness, the difficulty, the agitation, the heartache of your human heart? And if you feel like you don't know what I'm speaking about, or you feel like it's too hard, or if it ever gets to be too hard, then call upon God. She's free. She's there. She wants to help you. She wants to help all of us. And if any of us knew what we truly are, if any of us had, our third eye radically open and could see psychically, we'd see we all have literally an army of angels right here, right now, wanting to help us, wanting to take this burden from us. And so one of the qualities of the true heart is humility. And it's okay to admit, God, this is too hard for me. Will you take this pain? Will you take this suffering? Will you take this heartache? And even just this act of just saying, will you take it? Will you take it? And literally, I encourage you, just imagine like lifting up your suffering, lifting up your heartache, lifting up your despair, and giving it to God. And you will feel relief immediately. It's the same when you go and you see Amma. When you see Amma, she's there. She's literally, she's Kali. She eats karma. That's what she does. She eats karma for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She takes on the karma of thousands, if not millions, of individuals and transforms it. Like I spoke about last week in this Buddhist Tonka behind me. Now this is what's happening. This is what true Tantra is. It's just taking karma, it's taking pain, it's taking suffering and transforming it. It's burning it up in the light. And whenever you don't feel like you have the strength, by all means, you call upon God. It's through that humility. When you call upon God again and again and again, what you begin to find is that you and her become one. You and her become one. For every time we're humble, we're opening our crown chakra, we're opening our heart, we're opening our throat, we're opening all seven chakras and saying, God, come into me fully. Heal me. Give me the strength. Take root in me. Be here now within me. Live through me. And so many individuals, they ask, well, they say, Craig, how do I live the truth in the world? And they make the mistake of thinking about truth as living, you know, some grand philosophy in the world. I'm going to live the Yoga Sutras. If you want to live the Yoga Sutras, look at where the Yoga Sutras came from. The Yoga Sutras came from this direct connection. It's a great yogi who was open-hearted enough to receive this transmission of truth. Be like him. Be a great Dakini. Open your heart fully and receive and be this light. Open yourself to such a degree that there's no division. No division. So that you are walking, talking, breathing. Divinity, love, truth, peace, light, joy, spaciousness. You know, I was sitting down at this this party earlier this evening, and this woman looked at me and she just said, "You look like a pretty chill guy." I just laughed. I thought, she doesn't know me at all, but see, she could just feel that in my presence. And so when we're connected with God, when we're connected with truth, when we're connected with peace, you know, in one way, it's a funny thing to say, but our vibration becomes, you know, the opposite of anxious. It becomes open, awake, happy, peaceful, loving. And of course, at any moment when you, if you fall, and you will, we all do because we're human, when we fall out of alignment with truth, we say, God, will you pick me up? Will you give me the strength? Will you straighten me out? Will you straighten me out? Will you bring me into alignment with your grace? Lord, can I give you this pain? Can I give you this struggle? Can I give you these thoughts that I'm temporarily confused with? I had this funny interaction with my wife earlier today before we were going to the party. You know, I thought the party was at one house. And she knew it was at another. And the house she knew it was at was, you know, was further away than the house that I thought it was at. You know, so I thought it was at, you know, my friend Angelo's house, but it was actually at his in-law's house. And so she was talking to me and she kept hurrying me, and I was like, why are you hurrying me? Like, it's not that far away. And she's like, come on, let's hurry up, let's go. And when we got in the car, she said, I told you it was at the, you know, the, whatever, the father-in-law's house. And I said, no, you didn't tell me. And in her mind, she told me. And in my mind, she hadn't. And so if we're going to be a couple and we're going to get along, if we're going to get along in this way, in alignment with truth, we have to be willing to be wrong. We have to be willing to let go. We have to be willing to smile. We have to be willing to submit and surrender. You know, I talk with couples all the time and I tell them, you can be right or you can be married. Which one do you want? You can be right or you can be in love. Which one do you want? Do you want to live in love? Or do you want to live in a way where you think you're right? And the funny thing about perception is, perception will create all sorts of states of reality. But is it actually true? Is it actually true what you're thinking? Is it actually true? And so the funny thing is that much of the time, what we're thinking is not actually true. It's It's a very humbling thing to begin to realize is that much of what we think is not actually true. It's the grand arrogance of the mind that thinks it knows what it's speaking about. It thinks it knows, what's true. But this path, if we want to live in the truth, we have to be willing to be humble, to be childlike. We have to be willing to do what Vishal was saying, is to explore our heart, even if it's difficult. And so there's so many people on the path, they find they go into their heart and they say, oh, I don't like what's here. I'm finding pain. I find suffering. And so I'm going to go back to my mind, or I'm going to, smoke some pot, drink some beer. I'm going to listen to some music. I'm going to chase this thing, distract, this way or that way. But if we want to live in the truth, we have to learn to be one-pointed. One-pointed. We have to learn to sit with something, even if it's difficult. We have to be willing to embrace pain and say yes to it until it burns up in the light. Until it burns up in the light. And that may take some time. It may require that you're patient. That you love yourself enough to sit with something. I get this question from Kate, basically she's asking, how long will it take? Can you reassure me that I'll get through this? And I actually received the same question from Marcel this evening too. How do you know, Craig, that I will heal? Oh, you will heal. You will absolutely heal. It's written. It's God's truth. All of us will heal. The question is how much are you willing to give? Are you willing to give all of yourself, all of your time, all of your energy? Now, within my own healing, it cost me tens of thousands of dollars. It took all my time, all my energy, all my money. But look, it worked. It worked. And so if you truly want to heal, if you truly want to awaken to the truth, you will give the truth all your time, all your energy, all your power, all your thoughts, all your emotions. People have this great idea that renunciation means, letting go of things. That's just surface level. True renunciation is I let go of thought, I let go of emotion. I'm letting go of my attachments. How about my attachment to pain? And the idea that the pain should end soon. I spent years of my life wrecked with pain. So my whole body just in tremendous amounts, ridiculous amounts of pain, going through the awakening process. But never once did I say, I want to go back. Go back to what? The path is forward. Another great thing my teacher used to hammer into me. He said, Craig, the path is forward. Forward to God. I don't think I ever asked my teacher how long it would take. He just said, walk forward. Never give up on yourself. Never give up on the truth. Never give up on God. That's the path of love. That's the path of truth. That's the path of strength. That's the path of freedom. Do not give up on yourself. You are a divine being. How long will it take? As long as it does. If you want it to be more efficient, don't complain. Breathe, let go, embrace, surrender. Say yes to everything. Say yes. Say yes. And things will start to move. Things will start to move. And so, yes, these are all great questions. Okay, let's see. I have another question here. Let me see if I can pull it up here. This one's from Lisa. She actually called and left me a voicemail in a email, which is something I didn't even know you could do. But you know, the amazing way technology works. Lisa told me, you know, she gave me a really long voicemail. Basically, she told me she's really struggling with healing this sense of victim consciousness. She's tried so many ways of healing and forgiving and letting go and being loving and compassionate towards others, setting boundaries, developing strength. And she went on to say that her kids are really difficult. Her kids are a little bit older, they're in their 20s. And there's times when they're downright mean to her. And she described in great detail. And I thought, boy, the kids are really tough. They take all of her energy. But what she really loves is she really loves to be connected with nature. She loves to go for walks in the park. But she has so much pain in her family. And it's so hard that it's sometimes thinks about one guy. And she said, well, what should she do? And yeah, this is a difficult thing, Lisa, because I know you, Lisa, and I know you've tried so hard. I know you've worked in so many different ways. But I'm going to tell you again, do not give up on yourself. The Dharma is good in the beginning, it's good in the middle, and it's good in the end. Continue going forward. Continue embracing. So if you have any aspect of victim consciousness, and by victim consciousness, I mean a part of you that's complaining, a part of you that feels incredibly beat up by life, worn out, if you feel like it's you against life, you against your family, you against the world. And so, you know, that's 99.9% of the planet. So don't feel alone, Lisa, when I say that. Lisa, you have a big heart. That's why you feel so much. Your family is mean to you. And I tell you, there's times in our lives when we are good people, like you are, and our family is downright mean and manipulative. I was in a relationship once for too long with someone who was mean and manipulative, who attacked me for years, who publicly humiliated me. Who got my own, you know, who had my own best friends turn their backs on me, who had my children turn their backs on me. It's difficult. Families are difficult. I have a brother who doesn't talk to me, and I love him dearly. Sometimes our own children are ruthless. But when they're adults, you have to make a choice. You know, I just call it, you know, stopping doing business with them. If there's people in your life who are ruthlessly mean, and we're just all adults now, it's okay to simply stop and to say, hey, I'm done here. To set a clear boundary, to take a break, to let them know you can't talk to me that way. But sometimes, I hate to say it, there's some people who won't change, at least, you know, in the next couple of years. Everyone changes eventually, but there's some family members who are so difficult, so ruthless. I was sitting with a good friend this weekend, and he came into town to visit me. And we were talking together, and he told me how much pain and suffering and what struggles he was having. And what I saw before me was a holy man. A holy man. And he stood before me, and I had this vision of Saint Germain. And so here I am, and my friend's standing before me. I'm seeing him as he's telling me how much suffering he's in. And I'm seeing this holy man standing before me and had this vision of Saint Germain. Life is not always what it seems. Most of you are angels in human bodies. Your work is to be a bodhisattva, to transform pain into light. Your work is to love. But there's some people who don't want to receive our love. And it's okay to set a boundary. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say, I've had enough. You can't talk to me this way. It's okay to stand in the truth and say, no. No, I will not take this. And sometimes we need to say that to another. Sometimes we have to say it to our own mind. If our mind is obsessing, if it's just freaking out, if it's spinning in circles, it's okay to simply say no. No. No to our own minds. No to our own craziness. Or no to someone else's craziness. It's okay to say no. And it's okay to walk away. It's okay to leave. And say, okay, I tried. I gave them my all. And I had a son that I raised for 13 years. An adopted son from my first wife. He won't talk to me. You know, I cried, I grieved for, 4 or 5 years. And then at some point, you let it go. You say, okay. He doesn't want to connect with me. You let go. Now, of course, I'm going to keep showing up and loving if he wants a relationship. I'm there. But if not, you just let go. I do the same thing with my brother who won't talk to me. I just keep loving him, sending love his way. And if he doesn't want to talk or you have to just let go. Say, enough's enough. Enough's enough. And you literally give them to God. You give them back to life. You say, Lord, will you take them? Will you take my kids? Will you take good care of them? And see, they're adults, You're not going to abandon a five-year-old. You make it to 18. The kids are 18. It's like, okay. You do your best and you let them go. But it's a good lesson for, when someone's ruthless to you, and you tell them no and you just walk away. And you choose, I'm not going to play games anymore. And so like I was saying before, when we're speaking about the truth is it's non-negotiable. So many people in life, they want to play these egoic games. And sometimes we just say no. No, I'm not going to play games. Here's the truth. Here's my love. I'll respond with compassion, take it or leave it. And some people will leave it. Some people aren't interested. And so, Lisa, your job is to listen to your heart, to go forward into the light. That's your job. Never give up on yourself. Never give up on yourself. Okay. This one's from Sophie. Hi, Craig. I am in great mental suffering and anguish. I have great difficulty relaxing in any way. I feel completely stuck. What could I do to alleviate this? Do you have any breathing techniques or meditations or activities you can recommend? Yes, of course. So if you find yourself completely stuck in your head, I recommend yoga. I recommend exercise. I recommend going for long walks in the park, spending time in nature. Get out of your head and into your body. Out of your head and into your body. If you're looking for a meditation practice, I mean, there's all sorts of practices. But if you can bring awareness out of your head and down into your belly, if you want a simple practice, you just count. You breathe in and you breathe out, and that's one. And when you get to 10, you go back to one again. You breathe in and you breathe out. What the mind cannot stand is to be simple. But if you want to get out of your mind, the doorway out is simple. Simplicity. The mind loves complexity. The truth is simple. So you breathe in and you breathe out. You feel the rise and the fall of your breath. A mantra can be healing. You know, I've spoken about this often. Place a hand on your heart and a hand on your belly. You breathe in, I love you, and you breathe out, and it's okay. I love you, and it's okay. I love you, and it's okay. And you feel and connect to your body. And when your mind starts thinking again, you say, no, I'm not going to go there. You give yourself a boundary. And if your mind is rampant and out of control, do yoga, walk, exercise, work out, move the body, get physical, get your hands in the earth, work in a garden, work on a farm. Use the body. Use the body. But normally the mind is freaking out because there's some sort of trauma that's in the body. And we've spoken about this many times, is we can scan the body, scan the different chakra centers. And like I was speaking with Vishal, as you come into your heart, you find this sense of goodness and compassion. And you scan the body and you notice, oh, there's pain here. What do I do if there's pain? And I'm a bodhisattva. Oh, I breathe into it. I respond with love. But I don't worry about the story. I give myself permission to think nothing about what's going on and simply feel, experience, breathe, let go, embrace. Love. This is how we heal. It's how everyone on the planet heals. So yes, these are great questions. Okay, let's see what else I have here. And of course, anyone else is welcome to bring a question forward if you have one. But let's see. How can I help myself discovering my true self in deeper and deeper ways? So I can let go of the confusion and have more confidence in my true self. Well, this is very much what I spoke about with Vishal, is giving yourself permission to be quiet and to find that gentle space of innocence within the center of your chest. And you'll notice there's something good here. When you experience your true nature, every time you do, you gain true confidence. But every time you go into your mind to just hang out in your mind and just spin out in circles and confusion, or when you listen to your emotional nature, and by listening to it, I mean by getting confused by it and following it and chasing after it. You know, a lot of people, they struggle with addictions. And at the heart of every addiction is a lack of self-esteem, a lack of knowing one's divinity. They're unconnected to their truth and their power. And so self-esteem is so important on the spiritual path. So important. If you look at a great teacher like Ajahshanti or say Gangaji or Amma, it's like Amma, she loves her soul. There's no question. She knows she's God. She knows she's one with God. That's what makes her a great avatar. Her and God are one. She's given herself over fully. She doesn't question her true nature. I was hanging out with Gangaji once, and we were on a retreat with her husband Eli, and we were on this beach in Maui. I just watched her walk across the beach. It was just like watching a goddess walk across the beach. She knew who she was and what her life was about. She didn't question. She didn't go into her mind to get lost. She knew she was good. She knew she was divine. It was just simple. If you look at Adya, well, he just has this just very relaxed, open-hearted presence where he just knows. He knows who and what he is. Any great teacher has. They don't question themselves. They don't doubt. And so if you want to develop confidence in your true nature, you come into your heart, you come into your belly. You trust your gut, you trust your heart. You're not up in your mind thinking and getting all confused. If you want to lack confidence, hang out in your mind and hang out in your emotional world. It's really that simple. So our mind tends to be loud, our emotional voice tends to be even louder. But if you want to live the truth in the world, you listen to your heart, you listen to your gut. And so all seven chakra centers, they all have a grand intelligence to them. The heart and the gut are the most powerful. They're truly the seat of the soul. You can't go wrong listening there. If we want to live the truth in the world, you become quiet. You drop out of the mind and you listen to the quietest voice in the heart, the quietest voice in the belly. And eventually, the more and more you let go, these voices become one voice, and it's the one voice of your consciousness. This whole thing up here in the head that most people struggle with, all that thinking, eventually just falls away and becomes quiet. Absolutely silent. I can't remember the last time I struggled with thinking. You listen to your heart, you listen to your belly, and things become quite simple. Quite simple. So, anyways, I want to thank you all for joining me again this week. I want to thank you all for the donations. Especially received some donations from Felix, Angelica, I hope I pronounced your name right. A donation from Lynn, thank you. From Myrna, thank you. There was a few others, and please forgive me for not writing them all down. But thank you all. These teachings are supported through donation, and so as long as you all continue showing up with open hearts, I'll be here I want to invite you again to join me in August for the retreat if you can. And if not, don't worry, I'll be offering some more in the future. If any of you are really interested in organizing something in your town, if you live in a bigger city in the United States and it's easy for me to get to, especially if it's in the Southwest or the West Coast, I'll be happy to come if you can put something together where there's a number of folks that make it logistically possible. So I get all kinds of invitations, but it's good when there's a support there, when there's a network there. So again, thank you all so much. May peace be with you all. I feel so blessed, to come together in this way, to meet in this way. Such a deep and profound connection. So thank you all. You've blessed me all with your hearts and your presence. May you all have a wonderful evening. Peace be with you, and good night.